You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Your Bible is Hebrews chapter 6. I love our church so much. I love you folks. I'm so honored to be your pastor. I feel so blessed. And I'm not going to be long tonight, but I am going to be very direct. Hebrews 6. I wonder, let's stand together, shall we? Let's read one verse. We're going to take this verse and use it as our message tonight, but then we're going to Acts chapter 2. I wonder if you could read chapter 6, verse number 9 with me. Ready? Begin. But, beloved, let's read it one more time. Ready? Begin. But, beloved,
we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation.
I'm speaking tonight on things that accompany salvation. Amen. There needs to be growth. I'm preaching on growth, and I guess it's in high school chapel all this semester so far. But there needs to be growth in your life. Our Father, I pray that you'd help me to help the people that I love so much. I don't tonight feel very worthy about being this pastor of the church. But God, tonight you have me here. And I pray that it'd be a real blessing to these people. Help us to grow in grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. When a baby enters your home, as a baby's going to enter the yeoman's home now, and Brother Tiago and his wife, maybe tonight or tomorrow or this week, a baby's entering their home. And Sister Frommel, a baby's entering their home this week. But when a baby enters your home, you don't expect the baby to stay the same. The first thing a baby does, he rolls over. That's not much of an accomplishment when you think of it. The kid just rolls over. But mama is taking videos and she's sending the videos to her husband. This is big stuff, but it's not really that big, is it? But when you have a baby like Peter, I see mama shaking her head. Peter rolled over. Boy, that was big. The next thing that happens is that he pulls himself up on his crib or her crib. The next thing that happens is a baby crawls. Oh boy, that's big. That's big stuff. The next thing that happens, the baby walks. The next thing that happens, the baby talks. The next thing that happens, a baby gets teeth. And mama's videoing every one of these events and sending the pictures to dad. Now, you say, well, don't you know that mothers all work in this society? Oh, not when you get 172 weeks off for the baby. Kayla, I'm looking at you back there. Of course, Kayla, when she had her baby, I think she only got 16 weeks off. But I believe her husband got 20 weeks off. What is that about? What does the husband need? You need one day and get right back at it. Bring your mother-in-law in and let her do everything. 20 weeks, you got about 20 weeks off. It's a shame. But a baby, you expect growth. Then you take him to kindergarten, you bawl and cry for about half a second. And then there's kindergarten, eighth grade, high school, and then college. Then there's marriage and they're off. Life is very fast. But there's growth in your child's life. And you want to see that growth. God said, I want to see things that accompany salvation. It just follows. Go with me to Acts chapter 2, please, tonight. And we'll close out Acts chapter 2 tonight, so I won't have you turn any other text. Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we find the early church. And the early church was growing in grace. The early church did just not get saved and have fire insurance from hell. The early church had growth, and they grew in every area. In Acts chapter 2, and beginning in verse 42, And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The apostles' doctrine was the word of God. The people of the church, they got in the word of God. Sunday school teachers, I was in teachers' meeting again tonight, as I am every Sunday night. It is so wonderful to see that room filled with the A, the B, the C. We don't bring the D division over, but the D division. And all those that are teachers of the word of God. Every Sunday you hold the word of God. Brother John, I can't get over it that you have taught kindergarten for about 40 years, 38, 39 years. He has taught kindergarten. You talk about faithfulness. You'll forgive me for bringing Jericho into this illustration. But Brother Reimers approached me a week or two ago and said, what do you think about Jericho taking this class? And I prayed about it. And after a few days, I came back to you, a week maybe. And I said, I believe if you make that call, that'd be a good call. You know, Jericho, God bless him. He's young. He's a young married man. And he's got his business going, and it's going so well. And he says yes to everything. But he said this to you, Brother Reimers, I have been praying. You didn't know it, did you? I don't think you knew it. I didn't know it. I have been praying that I could teach Sunday school. That rejoices my heart. Here's a boy that's been praying. You know, in our churches today, people are quitting Sunday school. Our churches are quitting, our pastors are quitting it. But here's a man said, I want to teach. I sat next to him about a few seats away from him in teacher's meeting. I was taking notes, he was taking notes. He was in that thing. Jericho, I can't find you, but you're in here somewhere. Stay with it. Stay with it. If you have the gift of teaching, and you do, he volunteers, he teaches graphics design in our school for us. Every day he comes by for 1 hour to teach, then goes to work or back to work, whatever the case may be. If God has given you the gift of teaching, then teach the word of God. Yeah. Every dad ought to teach his family the word of God every single day. Every mother ought to teach her family the word of God. I think of the yeomans who have their sixth baby coming. They are spending time instructing their children in the paths of righteousness. Done such a good job. Hey, the Bible says they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The doctrines are the songs of Zion. Sing doctrinal songs. Sing songs like, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Sing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Sing, oh Lord my God, as we sang this morning, when I had awesome wonder how great thou art. Sing, great is thy faithfulness. Oh God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not. That's all theology. The Bible says, I want you to grow, and you're going to grow in the apostles' doctrine. He's writing to the first church. Continue to grow in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship. Let's pull over, secondly, fellowship. Fellowship is partnership. Fellowship is joint participation. This church is so blessed. This church can have fellowship all the time. I wonder, is anybody here, say amen if you like it, anybody here like Indian food? Amen. Yeah, I knew you did. Just think, we can get together with the Indian food fellowship. Yes. Praise the Lord. Does anybody here like Mexican food? Yes. Yeah, there you go. And you know, we can get together, we can tell the hermanos, say, hey, brothers, you want to go to heaven? Make us some carne asada. As we had at the campground, Brother Martinez, and he just kept bringing it on. And I try to be very careful, but I tell you what, I'm heavier than I've ever been in my life. I'm going to lose this weight for you before I pass away. I know that. But Indian food. Hey, I want to tell you something. Fellowship. I doubt if anybody here, but does anybody here like Filipino food? Amen. Yeah, amen. I wonder here, does anybody like Chinese food, Brother Longman? Yeah, I do too. So do you. Hey, I wonder, does anybody like German food, hot dogs? Yeah, that's good. Does anybody like American food, hamburgers? You know what we do with all that food in this church? We fellowship. I think I heard there's a fellowship tonight after church. All the fellowship. Thank God for the senior mothers in the high school that are making all this food that we can come and enjoy it. I hope you're making some money for your kids. But that's what fellowship is about. It's partnership. Don't come to church and come in late and leave early.
Amen.
Come to church and sit down, spend time with God's people, fellowship with God's people, walk around this auditorium. You got to get to know these people, these college students that are with us. God bless you, kids. They're just so wonderful. They come to us from around the nation. We're putting the different states in on Saturday night men's prayer. And last night we had two more states. All these kids are just a blessing. The Bible says, I want you to grow. I want you to continue in the Bible doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, and fellowship, and breaking of bread. What's that? The Lord's table.
Yeah.
Breaking of bread.
Amen.
That's when God's people gather together for the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is such a special time. Look what else he says. And in prayers. Prayers. God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. I love it that we have Saturday night men's prayer. I love below here, there's an auditorium, seats about 200 some people. And I get down there with those men and we have prayer. Thank God for the men of prayer. Now, all of you can't come to that prayer meeting, but you come to some kind of prayer meeting. Thank God for the ladies, Teresa, that go out on Tuesday morning and soul winning, and you pray together. That God will use you. Thank God for the teenagers at the Christian school, pray together. Thank God that every class is opened up in the college with prayer, and we close generally with prayer. You know, I love it. I used to see it more, but I'm around visiting with people. But there'd be a corner back here with two or three ladies praying Wednesday night before church, and two or three ladies here throughout the auditorium. Ladies, start that again if it stopped. Get two or three ladies back over here in this corner just for 5 minutes. Pray for the Wednesday night service. Pray for missionaries. Pray that over here, get two or three ladies, and here, two, three, four, five ladies, and here. Get throughout the house and pray. We have not because we ask not. We ask amiss. God says that strife will hinder our prayer report, our prayer results. If you have strife and envy and strife, God says don't pray, because that's iniquity. And he said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. Psalm 66. God's word makes it very clear. He said, I want you to continue. I want there to be growth in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and breaking bread and prayers. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions in stewardship. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them all to all men, every man that had need. They sold their possessions. They wanted to give to the work of God. And they wanted to give of themselves to the work of God. Don't you love a church that is doing something for God?
Amen.
And a pastor can stand and say, we have this need here. Could you help us meet it? I'm just shocked, Brother Jeremy. I'm shocked what this church did from March the 4th to September the 14th. March 4th. Through September 14th, $3 million for the front of that new academic building. And I tell you what, my wife said, don't get proud about it now, but I think I am. I walk up there every early morning, the lights are on, it's so beautiful. And I said, every time I walk up those, try to walk up the stairs, but I walk up the ramps, no length, and I walk up those ramps, I say, thank you, God. Thank you for this beautiful, beautiful building, done to precision, done beautifully, paid for by the people of God. paid for by the people of God. $3 million in those short months. No rich people in our church. $3 million. Hey, I want to tell you, that's an answer to prayer. I can remember, had no idea. I stood up and I said, folks, I don't know how, but it's going to be paid for by the end of, when it's all done, it's going to be paid for. You remember that?
Yes.
And it was paid for.
Amen.
God did that.
Amen.
God did that. He used his people. And so number five, he said, I want you to give of your possessions. In verse 46, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple. Daily, one accord in the temple. There was daily worship. That little church, that little assembly of people, there was daily worship that they wanted to worship God. I love church. Most of my life, I spent all of Sunday in church. Most of my life, for 50 years here, I've spent Monday night in church preaching somewhere in America. And Tuesday, preaching somewhere in America. And Wednesday, preaching here all day, elementary, high school, college. I love it. I've not preached a lot on Thursdays. Not that much on Friday, but I've been involved preparing for Sunday. I want to tell you, I love church.
Amen.
I love hearing you sing. Tonight we were singing, oh, that will be glory for me.
Amen.
I heard my mother and dad singing that all the time growing up. They would sing that at home. We'd sing it at family Bible time. I can remember my mom, her strong alto, and my dad, his strong voice, and they'd sing to the top of their lungs. I'd sit on my dad's left side, my mother next to my dad, my sisters next to them, and I can hear them singing that song. Oh, that will be glory for me. I can hear them singing it. We'll sing it when we get to heaven, I believe. I want you to know that God said they continue in daily worship. I'm almost done. Verse 46. And from breaking bread from house to house. That's unity. That's a oneness. I have a preacher friend. I'd name his name, but I don't want to tell it right now. He wouldn't mind if I mentioned it. But he said, Brother Treber, you're so blessed to be in Santa Clara, California. And I said, why? He said, because in my state, he's in a southern state. He said, you take a strong stand on anything. And if this couple doesn't like it, they leave and they take a family with them and they go down the house, down the block. Everywhere in our city, we have Baptist churches. Everywhere in our city, we have Baptist churches. But you don't have Baptist churches. Your people get upset, they're going to have to stay and get right with you. You know, I'm so thankful for that. I'm talking about all over. Have you traveled? Have you traveled to Kentucky, to Tennessee, to Alabama, to Texas, to Mississippi? Have you traveled to those areas? There are steeples and Baptist churches everywhere. You know how they start? Always a split. These two families started another church. These two families, these three families, these four families started another church. And after a few years, they get upset and they start another one. I'm so grateful that, I'm grateful for a church of unity. Look at Number eight, I'll be done, verse 47. Praising God. As a baby begins to turn over and begins to stand up and begins to crawl, God says, number eight on your octave of eight notes, I want you to praise me. I will praise him. Sing ahead. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners. Give him glory, all you people.
Give him glory, all ye people. For his blood can wash away
each sin. Most of you probably know the story of B.H. Carroll, C-A-R-R-O-L-L. B.H. Carroll was an infidel. He didn't believe in God. His mother was a God-fearing woman. B.H. Carroll went to the Civil War and was fighting for the Civil War and got injured. When he came back home and his rehabilitation was going on, he really couldn't make it out to church. But a revival swept over that city, that entire city. A revival just took place. B.H. Carroll began singing and weeping all the time. He was changed. One of his little nephews went to his B.H. Carroll's mother and said, "What happened to Uncle B.H.? He's always singing and he's always crying." His mother went to his room and said, "B.H., you got saved, didn't you?" And he wept. He said, "Oh, mother, I got saved." He was the first president of Southwestern Theological Seminary. He's the man that wrote the Trail of Blood that we use in our college. He was a great preacher of the gospel, died after the turn of the century. B.H. Carroll, an infidel. He preached a message, why I left my infidelity. Why I left it. And he said, "I left it because there is a God. That God loved me enough to die for me." If you read a history in America, 185 years ago, and not just America, but worldwide, 185 years ago, 25% of the world claimed to be Christian. 1, 2, 3, 4, Christian. 1, 2, 3, 4, Christian. 1, 2, 3, Christian. By 1970, that 25% had shrunk to 8%. By 1980, 10 years later, it shrunk to 4%. The last statistic I have is 25 years old, 2000. It shrunk to 2%. That means 98% of this world does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. That's why we're having a missions conference. I can't go to Romania. I wish I could. I can't live in the Philippines. I wish I could. I love Filipinos, Chinese. I can't go to Mexico. Those Hispanics are the best. They're great. I can't go to these various areas, but I can go on my knees in prayer, and I can go with my finances. I think of Brother Eddie Ray from China, and you know him, Brother Lawman, very well. He's coming back to our conference. Brother Eddie Ray pastored for 18 years in the state and then went to China, I guess, probably 25 years ago, maybe 30. I've not seen him probably in 30 years. And I'm so excited to see him. He'll be speaking here at our conference, just constantly trying to reach Chinese people for Christ. It's illegal, but he's doing his very best. I think of some of the missionaries we have, Brother Poussin, that you've got coming. They're great people. I think Brother Flood, and I'm going to announce it right now with your permission. I'm looking, if I can. Where's Brother Flood? May I talk about youth conference? Our theme this year is missions.
Amen.
Worldwide. Missions.
Amen.
I'm praying that young people will just get so convicted. We've got great missionaries coming. One missionary we have coming, he built a 7,500-seat auditorium. He fills it twice every Sunday morning. It's filled twice this week. He preached to 15,000 people. He's been there a lifetime. All his grown kids are in the mission field somewhere in America, in the world. I think of all the missionaries we have coming home that are flying in to be at this conference. Teens, I want you to pray that God would speak so much to your heart. Amen. That though it's not published and I'm sort of blowing it for everybody, that there's a world that needs the gospel.
Yeah.
Till the whole world knows, till the whole world knows, I will shout and sing of Christ my King. Amen. Till the whole world knows, the whole world needs to know that Jesus Christ is the answer. Father, I love these people, and they know I love them. But I think that things that accompany salvation, here we just heard an entire octave, eight tones. They assembled together and taught the Bible. They had fellowship one with another. God, give us a desire with our youth group for souls. Give our kids a desire for a bus route. Give our students the desire to say, yes, Lord, here am I, send me. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do anything. Lord, may these days be the greatest days as Brother Simmons starts these churches and begins them in two different areas here in the next month. God, may they be great things as he starts these chapels and one right after another. May we start many of them. God, give us preachers. Give us men of God and women of God that will go there and help us. I pray that God, you'd work in this invitation.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.